Good evening, Vancouver. Welcome back to Canucks After Dark Monday, February 19th. As the Canucks, the sky is falling for the Canucks as they have lost two games in a row and still haven't lost three straight all year, which could change tomorrow. But as always, joined by my co-host, Canuck Clay. How are we doing this holiday Monday?
Parker, I am doing great. I know how much you love football, but even you probably didn't like the 10-7 score. I know we're going to go in order, but I was thinking about you when they hit the converted touchdown there at the end.
Yeah, that's the thing. Most good football games don't end in a 10-7 score either.
That's fair.
So really not an ideal measure in any part.
So games notwithstanding, I'm doing fine. Had some good time with my family on Family Day, a rare time where all three of our young adult children were home. So pretty quiet day, but I had a good weekend. And it sounds like you did too. You were out and about a little bit.
I mean, I went golfing today. I think it was the only thing I did this weekend, if I remember correctly. So it was nice to start out the golf season on a nice wet course, but it was good to get out. And yeah, tracking, we booked the tee time, not realize, like, I forgot that there was an 11 a.m. game on a Monday, because that's not usually a thing I like have to consider when I'm, you know, planning things. You know, someone says, oh, what are you doing at 9 a.m. on a holiday Monday? And I say nothing. but I was tracking, I was tracking the game on my phone. And of course, I'm thinking like, I'm going to miss a Minnesota Wild 3-1, 2-1 boring game that has 45 shots. Now, I was pretty close on the 45 shots. I was not expecting to see that it was 5-2 at one point when I looked down at my phone and thinking, oh, well, I don't even have to, I got nothing to worry about. Cool. And then I turned my phone back on 2 minutes into the third period and they were losing, which was a bit of a shell shock.
Lucas and Parker, we'll get to your, Lucas and Justin, we'll get to your donations in a second, but I will say something, Parker, about that 5-2. It was at the 5-2 moment where I looked at my son, Sean, we were all watching the game, and I said, you know what? I'm going to tweet, I hope the Canucks meet the Minnesota Wild in the playoffs. This is going to be a good first round matchup for us. And then I looked at Sean and he goes, no, maybe not, just in case.
Yeah. And just from a pure hockey perspective, I wouldn't love to play the Wild.
True.
It is funny that because NHL.com, right, they show like the season series next to the stats for the game. And yeah, the Canucks won the first game 2-0. Minnesota won the second game 2-1 in a shootout. Boy, did they make up for it tonight. Lots of red on the score sheet for these power play goals. And really, I mean, I only saw the highlights. And the thing is, the Sportsnet highlight package, they no matter what, it will never be longer than 10 minutes on the Sportsnet YouTube channel, which 17 goals is hard to fit in there.
Yeah.
So I really haven't seen much, to be honest, with this game.
And Parker, it's so funny you mentioned the 10 minutes. I try and do my breakdown videos based on the 5-minute package that NHL.com gives. So they weren't even giving replays. They were just like, goal, 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 goal. But before we get going, Lucas, I know you had a great day, and this is awesome. You designed the jersey for the Coquitlam Express Autism Awareness Game. I think you were in arena host. So thank you for the donation, Lucas, and congrats. I wasn't following the game. Let's just say go support the Coquitlam Express. Their jersey state was slick. Congrats, Lucas. That is awesome. That's happy for your involvement there. And Justin, a $2 donation. Parker's golf game was better than the Canucks game. I'd say so. So thank you to both of you for your support and for the generosity today.
Yep. I earned a free lunch today and the Canucks didn't. Let's just say that. That's a tough one.
But we're going to go in order, everyone, and we're better now. We might not go goal by goal, but we'll talk about what's important. But it's game number 4 of 4 games, so you're going to have to wait. But I do remember, Parker, I said 2-1-1. I think you upped me to go 3-0-1, and neither of us were right.
Yeah, surprisingly negative week for the Canucks. And we obviously said last week we're going to try to tighten up the recap time a little bit.
Sure.
And I am doing my part in helping with that by not watching very much hockey this week.
you really took that feedback to heart. Good job.
Yeah. I thought, well, I just won't even watch the games. I watched going back to Tuesday. I watched that game. I just had like 4 hockey games this week and I went golfing today. So it was just like I just wasn't home. Right. I missed most of the Red Wings game, 'cause I had a game at like 7 or something, or like 6.
Yep.
And then I missed most of the Jets game, 'cause I had a hockey game at 7:30. And then I missed most of the Wild game today because I played golf, not realizing that there was a Canucks game at 11 a.m. on a Monday. So I will not be chipping in very much on the recap segment.
Do you remember the Chicago game, though, or at least looking at it? I can't remember Garland's goals.
Yeah, and NHL.com doesn't let us watch replays now without sticking a 15-second Tylenol ad in front of every single one. So it's really tough to go back and remember these ones. We have two Garland goals.
Yeah.
Now I think the first one was the 2-on-1 with Dakota Joshua, where he passed it over to Joshua, and then it looked like Joshua should have taken a shot, but he just fired it back to Garland, and he scored from a really tight angle.
That makes sense.
And then the second Garland goal, that one's a little tougher for me. It says deflected, but that could mean a myriad of things.
Yeah, I'm looking up. Oh, I get to see it without the ad, which is awesome. So I'm looking at now, he's going down the right side. Don't worry, we're not going to do this for every goal. Gives it to Joshua. Joshua back to the point. Hironic. Oh, this is the one that Garland went around the net. He called for it to Hironic. Hironic does a slap, like slap shot, slap pass, and it goes off of Garland's foot and it goes in. And he's right, like,
yeah, that was the weird little roller past Mrazek.
Yes. Yeah, right. So that's good. Good on Garland for calling for it and then getting smoked by the hardest shooter on our team, perhaps.
Yeah, he's broken a lot of ankles this year. Hoglander scored in this one. Joshua scored in this one as well. This was the Joshua's 3-point night with the Gordie Howe hat trick.
That's right.
This was just dominant. Right? I mean, 38 to 24 the shots. Canucks just took it to Chicago, as they should, right?
Yeah.
They kept it a little bit close with Korchinski getting one late, but
yeah,
pretty, you know, one we knew the Canucks would probably win, and they did a good job.
And a couple of things that stood out to me from here, Parker, you're right, is that third line producing basically almost all of the offense. And we haven't had a game yet for a while where first, second, and third line have all been chipping in. It's usually one or two of the others, which is fine. But I look at Mikheyev, and I'm not hating on Mikheyev. I just know that he's got to do something. I look at his stat line, 15-54 Weistein, Parker, zeros. He's got the beautiful no goals, no assists, obviously no points, even, no penalty miss, no shots, no hits. So what are you doing?
Very little is the answer. I mean, you look at, you know, 25 points in 53 games. It doesn't look terrible. I mean, for the money, it's terrible, right?
Hmm.
Do you know when the last time Ilya Mikheyev scored a goal was?
Well, just from what you said, December?
Yeah, December 17th against Chicago, 26 games ago.
Wow.
He's
been in the top six for the most of that, hasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, you can't, you just, yeah, that's, he really just came back from that ACL injury and just has had nothing in the tank, right? Like, he doesn't have that speed. He has no real agility. His shot is like, it's just non-existent. And they've got two more years of Mikheyev at 4.75. That's a contract that they are going to have to do some work on this offseason.
Yeah. On the flip side, at least Joshua, you're right, had the Gordie Howe hat trick, two goals, one assist, and the fight. But I guess the big news coming out of that is we haven't seen him since because he likely hurt his hand in the fight. Jeff Patterson sent a tweet out saying that he saw when one time the locker room opened after a practice, and then Joshua quickly hit his hand in his hoodie pocket. So. Yeah, and if he's skating too, I think the dads are on this trip, or the dads and mentors are on this trip. So if he's skating, then everything points to, even though they haven't said anything, that it is indeed a hand injury. I rewatched the fight. What do I know about fighting? So I couldn't tell when he hurt his hand, but maybe just that. What is it? Continuous hitting a helmet? Maybe just kind of
probably just the visor. That's you know, it's not a very forgiving thing to be punching. And you did sort of see it right after the fight. He sort of did this like one of these as he sort of like took his first stride towards the penalty box. And I kind of saw that like right away. I was like, that doesn't look good. But he went to the penalty box, so it's okay. And then, it wasn't okay. Or maybe it was late enough in the game that they just sent him straight to the dressing room anyway, so it didn't cross the mind.
Sure.
But yeah, that's tough, obviously, with how well that third line's been playing and how good of a penalty killer Dakota Joshua is. That's a tough loss.
It is a tough loss. And, we can talk about this overall, recap the week overall, but is it a coincidence that the Canucks did not do well in a game where they had to play tough on Saturday, and then in today's game, which was just kind of a dog's breakfast? But he's a good penalty killer too. So I think we're missing. We're definitely seeing the not having Joshua in the lineup for sure.
Yeah. Thursday is probably one we can touch on pretty quickly. Another Canucks win. Lindholm gets two goals. This was a good good one for him. You have Zadorov with a pretty weak goal shot that Jake Walman put up a really nice screen on. You had the Nikita Zadorov gritty
yes.
in this game.
Yes.
And you had the Canucks do, they did the classic in this game. They went up 3-1 after two, and yep. they sat right back and yes. had five shots in the third, allowed 15, and they were the only team that scored in that third period.
Yeah, this felt like a game that we've seen for the basically the first half of the season, Parker, in the Canucks. You're right. They race out to the lead, and then they do their job in protecting it. I thought that, yeah, Alex Lyon was very weak in goal for Detroit, and that's why Miller's goal off a turnover was an easy one from distance. Lindholm's goal was a wrist shot from distance. You're right. Zadorov's goal was a seeing eye shot, but also from distance. So Lyon wasn't great. This was the Jake Walman revenge game in that he was a minus three, was getting not targeted, but he was he didn't have a great game. And then you're right, Zadorov, his gritty is worse than mine and worse than Walman's. Like Zadorov's easily bottom the number three of
yeah,
the three of us.
But it was yeah. to send a message, and that's yeah. what I respected about it.
But you're right. This was I was at this game. I was really happy with the response the Canucks showed, given that the game in Detroit was a bit feisty. That's when they lost, obviously, in overtime on the penalty shot. So overall, a very solid victory for the Vancouver Canucks. So yeah, Chicago not a strong team. Detroit still battling in the wild card. So a decent win for them for sure.
Yeah. So they start out the week 2-0, which yeah. is great. However, they then flounder in these last two games. Two games in which they had leads at some point, at the very least. Going back to Saturday, Jets in town. Yeah. Canucks, play okay in this one, honestly. They were the better team for the majority of this game. Second period, yeah. Noah Juulsen opened it up, his first goal in like 5 years or something. Something crazy like that in the NHL. Canucks had a penalty trouble. Jets scored two. Vlardy and Monahan. This was before the Phil DiGiuseppe instigator, the first one. The second one right. was after the PDG instigator, after Adam yep. Lowry left his feet and yeah. boarded. Who did he board?
Amon, your buddy.
Niels Amon, yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then so PDG sort of jumps him. Lowry's gloves come off first. PDG gets the instigator. Math doesn't add up. And so Monahan scores, but then Tyler Myers, the Calder winning Tyler Myers, just getting crazy, going backhand through some guys. Like, I don't know what happened there. But what's your impression on that Myers goal? Where'd that come from?
It was a great read. And when, I was at this game with my son Jake, and when we saw it, we're like, oh, and then he makes that first, not even a toe drag, just kind of a long reach Tyler Myers move. And then Besser did a really good job of taking away goaltender's eyes and just standing in the crease. Besser's really good at that, actually. Did that a couple goals today, too. And I was very impressed. Myers, once he gets going, they call him a chaos giraffe for a reason. Because once he gets going on offense, you just never know what's going to happen. And remember, there was that slapper, right? Like 6 weeks ago or whatever, that was really good. Remember coming down mm-hmm. the one of the wings? So he can score. We just see it so rarely, and it just doesn't look right when he's flying towards the net.
Yeah, he's abnormally large. sweet goal. We go to the third, and then Noah Juulsen steps up, makes a hit, and the Jets score immediately after to make it 3-2. And then the wheels just sort of come off for the Canucks. And again, they've been playing pretty solid, but they give up two goals in a minute 55. And it's Vilardi and Scheifele. And, this game just sort of very quickly got away from them.
Parker, this one's interesting. I know you didn't get to watch the whole thing, but you probably heard some of the narrative that the refs were bad, or that the Jets bullied the Canucks, or the Canucks aren't good. And truly, from both being there and from what I remember, it wasn't that at all. It was the Jets scored on, as you mentioned, the two power play goals in the second, but going the third, it was 2-2. As you said, the Canucks were the better team 5-on-5. So it was set up for a really good third period. And Noel Juulsen made one bad pinch, right? He scored the first goal, which is nice, but he made that one bad pinch. And Connor Garland and Kyle Connor got tied up so much where Garland got out of the play. And now it's a 2-on-1. Myers played it poorly. And the second one, the two Elias and Elias collided. And then it was, I think, someone else got caught in a pinch. And then it was Zadorov that was trying to defend a 2-on-1. So it's unfortunate that they had breakdowns, but it wasn't because they got bullied, or it wasn't because of the refs. We can talk about that later about today's game. But for that game, it was just two really good teams battling out. And Winnipeg, they got scoring from their forwards, was the Canucks didn't. And Hellebuyck outplayed Demko, and Demko's great, and Hellebuyck even better this season.
Yeah, I mean, Hellebuyck is, you know, been the best goalie in the league this year, and, you know, a top five goalie for many years. That's really what stands out on the score sheet, right? You have Juulsen and Myers getting the two goals. Nothing, you know, top six does not get involved in any way, shape, or form. That's the difference, right?
Yeah.
And you can, that's the thing though, right? Like, you look at this game and you're like, oh wow, you can't, you know, you go up against the Jets, right? Like a really good, hard playoff caliber team. Oh well, they collapsed in the third, right? It's so easy for these narratives to sort of start springing up from like a couple of bad games,
right?
Where it's like, I mean, they still are, you know, we're still talking about a team that's top of the league, right?
Yep.
You know, you play that game out, you go to the third period tied, and you play that out 10 times, it probably goes 50-50, right? Most of the time. They're two really good, pretty evenly matched teams that I don't think, I don't think there should be too much, you know, fanfare or sure. like panic over, you know, a game in which they were the better team at 5-on-5.
Yeah, they were.
And they lost. It happened.
Yes. And thank you, Viper, for pointing out that indeed the fourth goal was also, I just watched the replay too. Yeah, Juulsen got caught, got crossed up with Zadorov trying to resulting in 2-on-1. And thank you, Kazel, or is it Kazel? I think it's Kazel. Regardless, we appreciate you becoming a new member of this channel as well. Thanks for your support. But I agree with everything you said, Parker. And so you're sitting at the end of that game, Saturday night, hockey night in Canada. You always want to win them, but you know, you're saying, okay, that was a good battle between two teams that are going to be at the top of their respective divisions or very close. So now we're still 2-1, and we can finish off this week on a matinee game, which, by the way, you know how we joke around, oh, the Canucks suck at matinee games? I saw the stat. They were actually 4-0-3. So they haven't lost in regulation until today in a matinee game. They've gotten points in all seven of them, but I think there's a stigma because it's so early, or they always start slow maybe, that they're bad at matinee games. So prior to today's game, they were 4-0-3 coming into today. So better than I thought. Better than I thought.
And a fine first two periods, you know. I mean, it was 5-3 after the second. That's you know, they didn't come out too slow. They scored two goals in the first. You have Ian Cole with a pretty nice shot 30 minutes in. You have JT Miller making it 2-0. And then you know, Minnesota gets one back late, usually one of those ones you don't love, right? It kills the momentum a little bit, but
off of Eric's skate.
It's tough, right? But the Canucks come back and they score two to start the second period, right? And now they have a 5-2 lead, or 4-2 or 4-1 lead, I should say. This game should be over at this point.
It should be, yeah, exactly the halfway point. You're right, they're up 4-1, and they had already killed off the first of four. I can't say it without giggling, Parker. 4 5-on-3s. So they kill off the first of them. And then Boldy scores on a breakaway. Okay, so it's 4-2. Then Miller gets his hat trick goal. Really nice power move, fighting off Zach Bogosian, who's, I get it, his best days are behind him. So 5-2. So yeah, if you're not thinking they're going to win at 4-1, you certainly think they're going to win at 5-2 with only 5 minutes left in the second. And then they get their second 5-on-3. And it's another goal that this one goes off of Cole's skate, and it's not dismissed fault. It's just one of those things where, yeah, they score 50 seconds left in the first and they score 33 seconds left in the second. You're right, Parker. We always talk about those. Those are killers.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, you just lose all the momentum. You get that self-doubt really creeps in. And then, yeah, they rack up essentially, what is that? 4 goals in just over 2 minutes. If you take the Zuccarello goal and go through the Eriksson Ek goal, and then Rossi scores 3 minutes later and Kaprizov scores 20 something seconds after that. It's a monumental collapse, like an impressive collapse. And the extra impressive part is they made it a 1-goal game again, right? It was 8-5. Yeah. It went from 5-2 to 8-5. So six unanswered for Minnesota, and the Canucks then scored two.
Yep.
And then it wasn't enough because they pulled the goalie, and Minnesota added two more on the empty net.
So Parker, I'm going to give you two narratives, and then I want you, I'm not sure if you got a chance to, yeah, you got to watch the replay, and I'm sure you've been reading stuff. So two narratives. The first one about the refereeing, I would say that when I look at the calls, the actual penalties, the infractions that put the Canucks in the penalty box, I really can't argue with any of them. Maybe the Lindholm one was a little bit weak, but you know, puck over glass, high sticking, those are obvious. So I can't get mad at the refs. I'm not going to sit here and get mad at the refs for the calls they made. It was two calls that they didn't make that had everyone up in arms. Well, one of them they tried to make, that was the one where they called it a goal, even though the puck didn't even go in the net. The puck actually got swept into the net after it was dislodged. So they reversed that, but that was just more comical. And then you might have seen that main scramble where it looked like the ref lost sight of the puck once under DeSmith and once under Cole, yet he let the puck play go. And that was the tying goal, Kaprizov 5-5. So that was the first narrative. And I'll just quickly talk about the second one, and then I'll let you go. The second narrative is, this is my own, is DeSmith. Is, yes, he let in 8 of the 10, 2 of them were empty netters. So you 8 goals, a couple of them went off skates. So, but there's a couple bumper ones where I just think, I don't know how, by hook or by crook, you got to make a save. You got to make one or two saves. You can't be letting in, 8 goals on 21 shots or whatever it was. It just, I'm not blaming him solely, but you can't tell me that Demko's in that game that he's going to let in 8 goals. I just don't see it. I don't know.
No. Yeah, it's an interesting one. And yeah, on the officiating side, I mean, that was a bit, I don't care as much about the penalties as I do sort of the more ridiculous, you know, you know, that goal that they called for no reason. And then I don't know how the ref maintained vision of the puck, but whatever. It's goaltending wise, it's tough, right? Cause you can look at 8 goals against on whatever it is, 25 shots. And if they're all beautiful, perfect goals and you're like, goalie, you know, didn't have a chance on those. Even the ones where we say, goalie didn't really have a chance on it, they still get saved a lot of the time, right?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
You know, there's no shot that's 100% unless the net is empty. The goalie still takes up a good chunk of the net, and maybe it's a string of bad luck. Maybe he was off his game. Like, who knows? And he's been a good backup goalie all year long. Right. Yeah. And the Canucks lose this game 4-2, and it's like, that sucks that DeSmith let in 4, but that's to be expected. I think it's 10-7, right? It's one loss just the same, right? 0 to 2 points, and it's against a non-division team. Like, at the end of the day, this isn't that big of a deal, this game, but just the fanfare of it, right? The 17 goals scored on 51 shots, which is psychotic. That's tough. And yeah, you just need to get a save, and you look at it and you're like, well, why, they just say, hey, Demko's not going in no matter what.
Yeah.
Which obviously is what they said, but like, hey, maybe after the 3 goals in 3 minutes or 3 goals in 2 minutes, right after that Kaprizov goal, maybe you make a move, right? 5-5.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
we want to win this game. Let's put Demko in, because Minnesota did it right. They put in they made the swap on their end.
They did,
not that they went much better for them, but it went better enough. I don't know if they're just they're just like, I guess it's back to back, so you got to save Demko.
You got to save Demko. So I think it was dismissed game to win or lose no matter what. How about this? But I did. You mentioned, Parker, I think this is very wise. Do something to change things up. If it's not a goaltending change, I've seen many people in the chat say, why didn't Tocchet call a timeout? Like anywhere, 5-4, 5-5, 6-5, 7-5.
Yeah.
But he didn't call a timeout. Like it's one thing to believe in your leadership group, but you're allowed to timeout a game. Why not use it? I don't know.
That is a weird one. Yeah. I don't have a good answer for that.
Yeah.
Because normally I'm usually like the timeout sort of discourse I'm not like big on, because a lot of the time it's like, well, they had like a TV timeout like 30 seconds before that or whatever, right and like they're allowed to talk during that and or like get a breather. And but yeah, coming out of the period, you let in 3 goals in a minute essentially. You take a timeout.
Like, yeah, and yeah And Parker, this is the first time all season. And, you know, you and I think we're pretty reasonable. We don't get too high with the highs, although we so badly want them to win. But we also don't get too upset with the lows. But this is the first game this season where it felt like a Bruce Boudreaux game. Remember so many games where it was just madness and it was chaos. It really was. And you just hope you wound up on the good side of the chaos. That's what it felt like today.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, the Canucks had pulled this game out, right? 10-7. We'd have been going crazy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Think back to obviously the 8-2 game is the obvious comparison, but this had seven more goals than that. Yeah, and it's an unfortunate one. But again, there's some weird voodoo on matinee games that, and again, you know, their record 4-1-3 in matinee games, and it's not great, but it's pretty good, right?
Yeah,
you're getting it's points, over five.
Yeah.
Right. But that's, I don't know. There's something off about him.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Because I guess the most recent experience was the weekend, just last weekend, where they went to Detroit, Washington. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what other. Oh, yeah, that weird Monday one where none of us could do game over.
Right.
There's that one. I'm trying to think of the other ones. Yeah. Strange
Very
stuff.
Very strange.
Okay, so this is perfect, actually. This takes us almost to the halfway point. So before we project the next three games, Parker, you made a good point. They're the only team that hasn't lost three in a row. This is the first time all season that they've lost in regulation when taking a lead in the third period. They're 31-1-2. That means that's amazing. 34 games, more than half of the games, they've actually been leading, not tied. They've been leading. So it speaks to the dominance of the Canucks. Some will say, they lost these two games in horrible fashion, blah, blah, blah. I know you kind of led with it. You don't seem too worried.
No. And yeah, that record that you just mentioned, was it 33-1-2?
31-1-2 now.
31-1-2 when leading after two. It was like 26-0-0, right? That's that's a pretty, you know, that's a pretty dramatic, right? 5 out of 8 instead of 26 out of 26. But to me, that just screams that this team's in a bit of a rut. However, you know, I see some people in chat saying, well, yeah, better to face some adversity now, right? And I think that's true, right? I think if this team just sort of walked their way and sort of went win two, lose one all the way into the playoffs, you know, maybe they, you know, maybe this is just wishful thinking, but maybe this helps strengthen their resolve a little bit, right? Something to rally around. You know,
yes,
they've really focused on the not getting too high, not getting too low. And last time that we panicked about the Canucks being in a slump, they turned around and won a bunch of games in a row, right? This is going to be tougher because they have Colorado on the second of a back-to-back, but it's like a half a back-to-back because there was an early game. So they get an extra couple hours. Game's not till 6 PM tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which is weirdly late because that's 8 o'clock in Colorado.
Isn't it? Maybe daylight savings. They're 7. Maybe.
I think they're still at 8 on the same thing. I think so.
Okay. That's cool.
I might be wrong.
I'm not a time guy.
But yeah, like, you know, maybe they lose tomorrow to Colorado, and that's really it's a scheduled loss for the most part. Although they do have Demko in that game, and maybe that's great. But like, I mean, are we really worried that this team won't just sort of turn around and maybe go on a little tear soon, like they did last time, right?
Yep.
They still have not lost more than two games in a row all season. That's the crazy impressive part about this slump that has gone on for the past 2 weeks. I mean, the team's, you know, gone 500.
Yeah.
That's plus a point because they got a point against the Red Wings. So just over 500, which obviously isn't great, but it's not like they're doing what LA did, right? Where they fell completely off the map. They're still in it. I'm not going to get too stressed about it.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. They're 500, but, you know, I was going through. Remember, they started 500. They won their first two. They lost the next two. Then they worked their way up. And then in November, December, whatever, they're going lose, win, lose, win, lose, win, lose, win. Like for 16 games, it was like eight of each. Yeah. And then they went crazy in January, which is awesome. And then now we're like, they're still, what are they? A lot over 500. Yeah, they're still 23 games over 500. Yes, 80 points in 57 games. Technically, they only need 5 more wins to clinch a playoff spot. But obviously, we're looking at first in the division now, in the conference, actually, to secure home ice advantage. So we're fine. We're fine. And tomorrow's going to be a tough test. I'm not saying it's an automatic loss. I'm not saying it's a must win. because then let's see what happens when they get a chance to play a Seattle team and then come home for a lot of the next 5 weeks and they can make some hay again. So I'm with you. I'm with you, Parker. Yeah, you always want to see them win, but there's two teams out there trying and obviously doing some crazy stuff like we saw today.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing, right? The Canucks do have one of the hardest schedules from here on out, but they also have more home games than anybody from here on out, except Seattle. I think Seattle has even more. It's tough teams, but I think this will be like, you know, there's still 2 months left in the season and the trade deadline and everything, but this is going to be a good ramp to the playoffs, right? A lot more games against teams like LA and Dallas and Vegas and Edmonton and Winnipeg, right? Mm-hmm. Those will be good tests. And again, if the Canucks face some adversity in those, right, we're still talking, like, let's say the Canucks start playing kind of bad. They're still going to be in the playoffs. They're still going to be, you know, second in the division maybe. And we're talking about, you know, a team that can reset for the playoffs. However, based on what we've seen from this team, there's a real chance they just go on a run here anyways and say, they just go beat Colorado, Seattle, and Boston or something. And then we're like, hey, none of this makes any sense, but it's fine. Yeah. I'm wary to get, I try not to get too high with the, you know, how well they were playing for a while. Cause I was always scared that the bottom was just going to fall out at some point. Yeah. But in that same vein, I can't go around and be like, oh, the second anything goes wrong, the sky's falling.
Sure. No, I'm with you. That's why, I mean, that's why we get along. That's why we're okay being more than okay being show partners. So they got Colorado, they got Seattle. Yeah. Then three at home, they got good teams, Boston, Pittsburgh, LA. Then three away, and then nine at home. They are home from March 9 all the way until March 31st. That's crazy. Nine in a row. Nine games. Yeah,
and that little three away is nice, right? That's just Anaheim, LA, Vegas. Those are quick flights.
Right.
You know, they're probably spending no more than like 6 hours in the air total.
Yeah. By the way, it's season must have started like a week late or something this year. Or maybe, you know how COVID kind of messed up the seasons and maybe they're doing a gradual, because I guess the first game of the year, regular season, was October 11. I remember that was obviously the 8-1 drumming.
Normal.
Yeah, but then April 18th seems really late for me as a...
They've pushed it a little later. I think they stretched the season out a little bit. I think they added a week. Because all the teams have a bye week now.
True.
I think that stretched it out a little bit, which I think is silly. Like, let's wrap this thing up a little earlier. Right. Like, let's get the Stanley Cup out there in May. You know, we don't need to be going to June.
Right. You're exactly right. So let's say that the first, obviously the weekend is going to start April 21 will be the first playoff games. And then every series always takes 2 weeks. That's what they map out for. Yeah. So we're not going to see the end of the playoffs until the third week of June. Hey man, what if they win the Stanley Cup on my 50th birthday on June 22nd?
That'd be cool. I don't know if June 22nd feels so late.
I know. So, but the Riot game was June 15, in 2011. So,
wow.
Yeah.
What day is the draft this year? The draft is on the 28th. So yeah, I guess they could theoretically go that late.
Right. It does. You're right.
About a week before the draft is the latest possible.
Right. Yeah. If we count 8 weeks for playoffs. Yeah. The first weekend will be April 2021. And week 8 will be, my birthday week. Sweet.
Well, maybe.
What a present.
I'd be fine if they won it, not on your birthday. That'd be okay, too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, forget about the birthday part. The key is the winning. Yes, you're right. Awesome. Oh, no, I counted wrong. June 15 will be. June 22nd is 9 weeks, which would be quite a stretch. I got too excited. Regardless, let's hope they win.
Yeah,
let's hope they win. All right, let's quickly recap, preview these next three games. What are you saying? Two away and one at home.
Yeah, so in Colorado tomorrow, 6 p.m., Fangirl did clarify they don't do daylight savings there, I guess. Is only 1 hour ahead in Colorado. Okay.
Yeah.
So 6 p.m. start. This feels like a tough one, but keep in mind, the Canucks are good. It's a weird thing to... you forget that sometimes. You just look at the opponent, you're like, oh, Colorado's tough, they're, you know, the better team, but actually wait, no, they're not. I forget, you know, look at the standings. You know, I'd call that a 50-50. Canucks are on the road, second of a back-to-back. That's tough, right? So probably a loss, but I think they beat Seattle on Thursday in Seattle. And then Saturday at home, Boston, 4 p.m. home game, Toronto Maple Leafs treatment against Boston. That'll also be a tough one, but I think they pull that one out.
Yeah.
So I'll go 2-1.
And I can't disagree with anything you said. I'm guessing the exact same thing. And I think perspective is going to be key, because you know what the narrative is going to be tomorrow, right? Oh, they lost against another top playoff team. Oh, that's the first 3-game losing streak in a row. And then we'll go to Seattle and we'll pound them.
That's the thing, right? Like when you see the first 3-game losing streak, it's like, oh wow, they are worse than they've ever been this year. Right. And that, and I'm not like Joe, like this, that actually sort of like clicks automatically, I think, in people's minds, like, oh, they are doing something that they have not done yet this year. Things are falling apart. Teams lose 3 games in a row all the time.
Yeah.
That is crazy that they haven't lost 3 games in a row yet this year. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like if it happens, which I think is probably likely, you know, like I'm actually curious. I want to see what the odds makers have on tomorrow.
And while you look that up, let's say we give this the win over Seattle. This is such a stupid question, but I'll just ask anyways. If you knew that between Boston and Colorado, they were going to win one and they were going to lose one, if you had to pick, who would you rather them beat? I know you're going to say
you want to win the Boston game. And it doesn't, it's silly. It's wrong, like technically incorrect for the Boston one to be the one they want to win. But it's hockey in Canada and it's Boston. You know, it's more of a spectacle. And I think losing to Colorado is a little bit more excusable on the second night of a back-to-back. Colorado's decent favorites at -145. So maybe it's like 60-40, like not crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
The Canucks aren't, they're not huge underdogs in this one.
I think Tyler wants
the home ice. That's all it's going to be.
Tyler wants to get our attention. Tyler, I'll say this. They're not going to miss the playoffs. Like they might not win the Pacific Division, but I'll bet you anything that's not monetary that they will make the playoffs.
I will bet you anything monetary. If you're giving me even odds, Tyler, I will bet my house.
Wins. They need 6 wins in the last 20. And I know they're not playing the best, but thank you. No, we appreciate you being here most. And if you're being serious, that's fine. If you're not being serious, that was pretty funny, but no, we're Parker and I are pretty confident they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah. It's, I don't think anyone would give you any odds on them missing the playoffs. Every model's got them at like 100% chance of making it. Cause they need to, they need to win six of their last 25 games.
Yeah.
They have 25 games left. That's a ton.
Yeah.
They'd have to get passed by like Nashville.
Yeah.
Or Seattle.
Tyler wants to take our bets, but Tyler, we're not going to bet anything. We'll do like we did when we were small. Fun bet. And then we'll just see what happens at the end of the season. Tell you what, if the Canucks somehow don't make the playoffs, Parker and I will do something to each other. Like we won't even involve you because I'm sure we'll be just as distraught.
Yeah, I'll be very sad. That'll be my punishment. all right. Where else do we want to go here? Because we've previewed the next 3 games. We've recapped everything. We've got about 20 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Anything buzzing around in the news sphere? I mean, there's Phil Kessel.
Yeah.
That's something that's a new one.
Yeah. It went kind of quiet, eh? After he got here, just kind of, is he still here?
Yeah, he practiced like once in Abbotsford and looked tired.
Yeah.
But I mean, looking tired isn't that, you know, like he hasn't skated at NHL level for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, especially after a game like today and going into the playoffs and everything, like we said it, right? The season ends April 18th. And if they're going for the Stanley Cup, it's going to be in June. Lots of injuries that are just going to happen, right? It's a war of attrition. That's what the playoffs are. So if you could have more bodies that aren't a huge detriment to your organization, right? And you're not going, you know, so far down the well into, you know, the Linus Carlsons. Again, nothing against him, but if you're playing Linus Carlson and Vasily Podkolzin and Sheldon Dries in a playoff game, you know, we're in a bit of trouble, right? But if you have a guy go down like a Dakota Joshua, right? Then slotting in a Phil Kessel as a placeholder is probably more of a desirable option.
Sure. Okay. I got one more scenario for you. And I think by the time we answer, it'll be 2 or 3 minutes. And by the time I get it out of my mouth, and then we can do the last 15 minutes for questions. If Bluger, Garland, and Joshua are broken up because they're forced to be broken up because of Joshua's injury. And let's say Garland is okay. Where he took that shot to the knee in the second period, came back for the third, did play the third, but who knows, those things could flare up. So let's say Garland is okay. Do you see a world, given that the third line is already not existent because there's no Joshua, would you take this opportunity to try Garland in your top six? And now you could go the three Swedes and go Miller, Besser, Garland. Then you can move Suter down to a third line center or a fourth line center, whatever. Suter and Bluger, interchangeable to me. And then you have your four forwards on the bottom six. With Joshua being out, being Mikheyev, being Lafferty, being Amon, and being Phil DiGiuseppe, right? Because we have no Joshua right now. My question to you is, would you try Garland in the top six, or is it for you being there, done that? Because I think he does have more confidence now after his great season so far.
Yeah, he's been playing better. And I mean, you think of the options that you have right now, right? Yeah. Like, we're between, you know, I mean, Hoglander made the jump at this point, right? We got the Swedish line, and that's going well.
Yeah.
I mean, who else are you going to put up there? If Joshua's out, it's either Pugh Suter. And again, he's been good, but that's not his job, right? His job is not to be, you know, producing second line winger, right? He's got 12 goals this year, but he's had 19 points in 42 games. Like, these are Mikheyev numbers, essentially. And Mikheyev is not gonna, you're not putting Mikheyev up there because that hasn't worked at all. Phil DiGiuseppe is an option, but that, you know, wore out its welcome in the first month or so. Same with Sam Lafferty. And unless you're dipping into the prospect pool, right? I think Garland is sort of the best bet. However, the moment Dakota Joshua was back, I think he just put those three back together because it's been so well.
And is it fine, Parker, as a hockey player, is it fine if you have Garland and Besser as two righties playing on one line? Is that fine?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
I mean, the Russians love to do it. They're big on wingers playing their offsides.
So it's fine.
I think it's a bit of an adjustment probably. But I, you know, these are NHL players. I'm sure they can make that tweak if they need to.
Okay. Actually, I got one more good question for you, and Chris, sorry, I didn't mean to call you by your last name. Yes, I agree. We agree that Garland runs that third line, but what I'm saying, it's not really the third line with no Joshua, because Mikheyev, he's simply, that's not the line. So that's why we're talking about potentially, but thank you, Chris. Here's one last thing. You may have seen Parker either in highlights or new power play formation. You had Lindholm on the left. You had Miller on the right. Hughes up top, of course. Besser in the bumper and Petey in front of the net. So, Miller took Petey's spot. Lindholm took Besser's spot, which was Miller's spot. So a righty on the left for Lindholm and a lefty Miller on the right. So, what do you think of that?
Yeah, it's weird. It's a little bit, it feels like it's more focused on like keeping the puck in the middle of the ice a little bit more, right?
Right.
Just based on the handedness. Which, I mean, look, the power play needs some life, right? It's been pretty bad for the last while. And, a big reason why they're losing a few more of these games, power play has not been clicking, even though the penalty kill has been great. Except for today. I think it still gives you the JT Miller sort of skating downhill option, just on the other side. I guess it opens up from a one-timer perspective. You don't have to do that like sort of swap halfway through the shift and open everybody up. I guess that's an option. Really, I'm just on board for putting things in a bit of a blender because it needs some life.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. Yeah. I did, they only got three chances today and overshadowed by all the Minnesota chances, but I did think they looked a little bit better. In the Winnipeg game, they did not look good. They could barely get in the zone. So I thought they were a little bit better today. Yeah. Okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool. We got 15 minutes. You think we go to the peeps?
We can go to the people. If the people want to get some questions in for us, I'll see if there is anything else that we can bring up. But yeah, if you guys have any questions that we can answer, feel free to throw them in the chat and we'll spend the next 15 minutes or so on those. Do we think we see Baines in the lineup potentially tomorrow?
Oh, that is a great question. I don't, only because they won't have a practice before then, because he caught up on Friday, right? And then they played Saturday. They traveled Sunday. They played today. They're not going to skate tomorrow. They'll play tomorrow. So Baines hasn't even skated with the team yet, aside from the warm-up, which was really cool to see him in on Thursday night. Excuse me, Saturday night. So then I actually don't see him playing Parker until maybe Seattle, if they get a practice in, but maybe not to the homestand. And by that time, Joshua might be fine. I just think it's more the experience, the traveling, the getting hungry to come back, that the systems, the meetings, the routine, that's all invaluable. I don't know if he plays though, because would you agree with me that he's got to get at least one practice in?
Maybe. I also could see it as a shot in the arm type of idea, though. Like, hey, we're going to stick this guy in the lineup. It's his first NHL game. Let's go out there and win it for him, right?
Okay.
Just a slightly different angle. Not to say either's correct. I think, you know, I could definitely see, like, hey, you know, we don't want this guy playing until he's, you know, had to practice with the team, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, unless it's out of necessity, right? Like, if someone can't go tomorrow night, then obviously he draws in. But yeah, I don't think they'll make that move just because if they had lost like 4-1, I was like, okay, yeah, maybe you do something weird. But when you lose 10-7, like, what do you even change? Like, where do you go from that? Right? We scored 7. That's great. We're switching the goalie tomorrow, right? Shouldn't that be enough?
That's a good point. But you also made a very good point. What if Garland's knee, as I mentioned, it flames up, swells up, and he can't move tomorrow, then Baines is your guy. He's the only healthy forward right now.
Yeah.
Wow. You could see him. Okay. We could see him. There is a path to see Arshdeep Baines tomorrow. Arjun asked this. We kind of touched on it, but we never finished the thought. If Kessel makes the team. So I got too excited, Parker. I got way too excited, like I always do. I was like, oh, man, you could put the Lotto line together. Then he can play a Lindholm and a Höglander. Or, oh, you could, you know, keep. And then I said, wait. And the people were saying, the guy had played like 12 minutes a night last game. I mean, last year. Maybe he's not a top six. I tried in the top six, at least to start. I don't know.
Yeah, if he's got the stamina for it.
Right.
You know, he's a dangerous player, right? Like, you know, even with his age, he's still, you know, he's a producer. I think he just fits really well as depth, right? And it's for whoever it's the scratch threat, right? And it's sort of the role that Kuzmenko was filling, right? And the Canucks don't really have that right now, right? I mean, it's kind of Phil DiGiuseppe, I guess, or Sam Lafferty, like one of those is drawing out of the lineup. But it's sort of the threat of like, hey, you know, we now, you know, slotting in this free extra forward that we have, we can now start pulling guys out of the lineup. And, you know, we can say, all right, you know, Ilya Mikheyev, you're not playing next game because we're going to put Kessel in your spot. And I sort of just feel like I would just put him in just a piece you can just insert wherever you need to slot him in the lineup, right? Whether that's, scratching Mikheyev for a game and slotting him in there. All right. Mikheyev, you're back in. Lafferty, you didn't play well last night. You're coming out and Kessel's taking your spot, right? And I think you can start to just say, you know, just start shuffling things around, right? A line doesn't work, you know, a couple guys aren't playing well, pull a guy out, slot Kessel in and have that guy sit a game, right? And just almost like a rest opportunity as well. And then you can probably throw him on power play too, right? Yeah. And have him down low and
Awesome. Coach Rob says, should we try and find a better backup goalie? Probably tough to do at this venture, right?
No, the Canucks have a really good backup goalie.
Yep. Why is the power play? Parker. Why are has the power play been struggling so much lately? Well, right from Rick Tocchet, he has said that, and he didn't mention names, but I know he's talking about Petey. He basically said, sometimes these players, when they get the puck and they're trying to find where they're going to pass, they're going to shoot, they stop moving their feet. If you stop moving your feet, you become very, very easy to defend against. So what he wants, what Tocchet wants, is more movement. It doesn't mean like crazy systems or crazy spontaneous play, but simply move. And we saw that today. And I think I'm looking forward to seeing more of that tomorrow. So I don't know if you want to add anything to that, Parker, but that's what I heard Tocchet say.
Yeah, it feels like teams have sort of figured out, oh, if we just play really aggressive on the penalty kill,
yeah,
the Canucks don't really know what to do, right? We've seen it a lot lately that teams are starting to play a little bit more loose on the penalty kill, a little bit quicker, just attacking guys. And the thing is, if you are prepared for it on the power play, you can take advantage of that, right? You're going to have an open guy. You're going to have, you know, oh, you got to move the puck quick, but there's going to be a guy open. You're going to get something cross crease or something along those lines, right?
Yeah.
However, if you don't know how to adapt to it, you got a guy on you and he poke checks it away, and now you're regrouping and re-entering the zone. They need to figure that out. Sure. And whether, yeah, it's just a stagnant issue and they're not moving, that's obviously a part of it. Or whether, yeah, they're so used to teams sort of sitting back and let them do their thing and just pass it around a bunch. now that's been challenged a little bit, you know, they haven't really adapted.
Yeah, very good. Viper's, I think he's asking, what are we going to do? Not personally, like run up and down the street or whatever, but maybe as a show, or maybe Viper, actually clarify that so we can give
I think this is about his conversation with Tyler.
Okay.
He's saying that Tyler has to put something up on the other side
of
the bet.
That's right. And I can see the comments, but we'll let you guys keep talking about it. Japan 4, Parker, we answered your question. Thank you for that. What else we got in terms of questions? Yeah, Tyler's single-handedly keeping our chat going for us tonight. It's awesome.
It is motoring. Could be receipt season at some point.
You're right. Viper is asking Tyler what he's going to do once we make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Tell you what, I'll get this answer for Carol while you find another question.
I'm going to guess 9.
Okay.
25-ish.
All right, here we go. We got 2 on this trip. We got 3 in March, so that's 5. Oh, and then 5 in April, so 10. Very good. Good guess. Yeah.
We got 10. I think, yeah, Chris said, how many playoff games do we think that we'll go to?
Oh.
That's a tough one. That is so cost dependent. Because part of me is like, I could just go to as many as I can, right?
Yep.
And just say like, hey, if I can get it, you know, if I can get in the door for a reasonable price, you know, I'll go as much as I can. I'm also thinking, like, if the Canucks are playing like LA in the first round or something, like I could get a quick plane, you know, it might be cheaper than right? Go to games 3 and 4 in LA. It's probably cheaper than going to a game here. Yeah. So that's sort of crossing my mind. Probably not many. If the Canucks are in the finals and it's a deciding game, I will be there.
Love it.
Like whatever it costs, I'll be there. Like I'm not going to not be there.
Yeah. Parker, work with me here. Your profession is engineer, right?
Close enough.
Engineerish. Okay. So this is a comment to you. Don't worry. So you guys, you'd think that Parker is an engineer and me working for the church, you probably can guess who likely has more disposable income, but I have, because all my money goes to tickets. And I talked to my season ticket partners. It's a really interesting question, Chris, you asked this. So me and Mike, my longtime season ticket partner, we said our priority is to get to as many games as we can. We're not in it to make money. We want to go to games. That's our MO. And I would never, ever judge anyone that does the opposite, who sells all their playoff games to pay for their regular season games, which is fine. And I think with another group that I'm with, that might be their MO. So their MO, I should say. So it's interesting. I'm with 2 groups of people with our tickets. And I know that if I really want to get to a game, I can, because me and Mike, my longtime season partner, our priority is to get to as many games as we can. Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, Parker, you're right about those prices. I remember back in 2011, my seat cost $40, Parker, and by round, it went 70, 80, 120, 160. So basically by the fourth round.
So cheap.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, but yeah, so cheap now. Yeah. 160. I know, but it was 4. It was 4x, right? It was 4 times my cost by the fourth round. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. We'll see.
It's going to be, because I'll be secondhand probably. It's going to be expensive.
Well, I'll just boot my season ticket partner. You come with me. Canucks After Dark.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
I'm sure he'll agree too.
Yeah. Is it a smart financial decision? Absolutely not. Right.
Yeah.
But if they're going to win one, I'm going to be in the building. Right. Yeah. It's just not one of those. That's not, it's not really a negotiable.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Oh, here. So speaking of which, Peter says, how far can they actually go? And if they basically, what we're talking about now is have our goalposts moved, have expectations moved where if they don't make it out of the second round, the division, it's a disappointment. Like where you sit right now.
The goalposts have absolutely moved.
Yeah.
As they should. Right. Yeah. You know, we were hoping we'd be sitting here with the Canucks in like third in the Pacific and being like, all right, they just got to keep up like a 600 pace, and close out a playoff spot. Right. But now this team's shown that they're better than we expected. Mm-hmm. A first round exit would be a disappointment for Agreed. Sure. It depends where they're slotted, right? If they finish first in the conference, you know, that's home ice throughout the playoffs, most likely, right? Maybe not the cup final. We see how the East goes. I think second round exit would sort of be like what I would expect to happen. Currently, like that feels like the most likely outcome to me. Mm. Not that that's a good thing, obviously, right? But I don't know. It's just a team that hasn't, you know, had that experience yet, and I have some doubts. And we'll see, you know, how the depth works if guys like Mikheyev step up in the playoffs. And you know, there's a lot of question marks. We haven't seen most of these players in the playoffs, especially good. Together.
Good point.
So. I think a second round exit would be disappointing, but not necessarily a disappointment. And I think it would go pretty quickly into excitement for what's being built.
Yeah.
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 Yep. I agree. And I would say, but a first round exit would be a disappointment at this point. Yep. Bar none.
You're right. I agree with you. It's easy to, we're atop the lead. It's very easy to say, well, then they should make it to the final. No, that's why all the betting teams have like four betting sites have four or five Western Conference teams ahead of us. I agree with you, Parker. I think we've always said to get out of our division with the Vegas and Edmonton and LA of the world, that would be amazing. So, and yeah, when you look at where we were at the start of the season, I think we don't want this to happen, but if we lost in the second round, I don't know, okay is the right word, but it wouldn't be a failure to me either. It'd be disappointing, but not a disappointment. Well said.
Yeah. It's a gauntlet. Right.
Yeah. I mean,
it's 8 weeks that you have to, you know, you can't lose 4 to 7 games at any point.
Yep.
That's not easy. And all the bad teams are gone, right? You're not playing San Jose, Chicago. You don't have those get right games. Mm-hmm. And you're going, that's the thing to me is you're going to run into Vegas or you're going to run into Colorado or you're going to run into Winnipeg. Or if you make it all the way, you're going to run into a Florida or a Boston or a, you know, even Carolina. But like a lot of these teams, they've been there, right? Colorado has won. Vegas has won. You know, Dallas has been close. You know, Edmonton's been really good for a while, right? You're against a lot of teams that have been good for a while and have played a lot of playoff games. That's why they have the edge, right? That's why, like you mentioned, the betting odds are favoring these other teams more so than the Canucks because they've been there before. They've proved it.
Arjun asks, do you think the April games between Vegas, Edmonton, and Winnipeg mean more than the games in February, March? Well, I think Arjun knows this too. Technically, no. They're all worth 2 points. But yeah, the answer depends. It depends if the Canucks are in a dogfight for the top of the division or if they're resting guys or watching ice time because they've already got a position locked up, but maybe those teams are fighting. It's nice to think about, Arjun, but we really can't talk about it until it happens because we don't know what the standings are going to be like.
They'll feel like they mean more.
Yeah, I agree. Sure,
right. Yeah. And obviously it depends on the context. If the Canucks have like a 6-point lead on the conference with like 5 games left, we'll be pretty comfortable. But if they're, if they're 2 points up with the last few games and we've got the Jets and the Oilers and Vegas and everyone's sort of in the mix, then we're talking about real big games. And obviously, and of course the games right before the playoffs, those are going to have a little bit more meaning, right? Those are your last, you know, auditions before the real ones count.
Hey, check this out. Jarhead. I had game seven against Bruins. My selling price for each ticket was $2,000. I couldn't get that, so I went to the game and it was a nightmare. So I'm sure Jarhead has spent the last 13 years saying, what's that price point where I would have been okay with selling it and not going to that game? Is it 1500? Is that, who knows? Like, it depends what the original, but still.
It's a weird balance because you think about it and you're like, would I pay $2,000 to go see the Canucks win a game seven Stanley Cup final in a heartbeat, right?
Yeah. Great point.
But there's a 50% chance they lose that game. And now I've spent $2,000 on the worst day of my life. it's like that's a real, you know, that's a real tough balance. Because now you're not paying $2,000 to watch your team win. You're probably, you know, averaging out, you're paying $4,000 with a 50% chance at heartbreak. So it's, it's an interesting conversation.
Hey, let's end with this because Kazel is our newest member today. Thank you. I haven't seen many full 60-minute efforts this season. Do you think they'll be able to put it together before the playoffs? What do you think, Parker?
I don't think you see a lot of full 60-minute efforts anywhere in the NHL, to be completely honest with you. I mean, we look, you know, you go back to that 2011 team, right? The best Canucks team there's been, which was worse on paper standings-wise, I guess, than this one somehow.
That's crazy.
like they, how many first periods did that team take off, right? They would just sort of chill. It would be 1-1 after two, and they would have just sort of, you know, not really cared, not played super hard. They go out, score once in the third period, game over, right? And they have Luongo back there, they'll be fine. They're up, you know, 2-0. Luongo lets a goal in with 8 seconds left to not get a shutout, and you know, we move on. And I think this team's had a similar strategy because how many times have they gone to the third period with a lead? Right? What's the number? 31, 1 and 2?
34 times. Yeah.
So 34 times out of the 57 games, they've gone to the third period with a lead.
Yep.
That means, and that's the thing, right? That's not something you should do half the time if you're an average team. No, because you can go to the third period tied.
Yeah.
So that's, in theory, 1-3-ish.
Yeah.
But this team's done way better than that. So they have essentially, and if you look at how they've played period by period, the first period, maybe they're a little slow, but they never usually lose the game in the first period. Second period, they go out, get a lead. And then the third period, they just play hard defense. Mm-hmm. It's maybe not the most exciting strategy. And you could think, oh, if they just played a hard 60, they'd win every game. But no one in the NHL does that because it's not very sustainable.
Yep. I agree with you about the 60-minute thing. It's hard to gauge a full 60-minute because they might intentionally be playing tougher defense, sitting back, five guys across the line, whatever, and it might not feel like they're pressing, but they are still giving a 60-minute effort. So, Kazel, your question's fine. You're obviously going to have to be as intense as long as you can, but to do it for a full 60 minutes in playoffs is just going to be crazy, especially if it's a game every two nights and sometimes some of them going to overtime. But it's cool that we're having these conversations at least. It's very exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah, it could. And again, that's why it's hard. It's really hard to gauge how this team will do in the playoffs because we just haven't seen them there. And that's a really tough, you know, we know what Vegas is going to look like in the playoffs. Even though they're a worse team than they were last year, we know what they look like, right? You know, who knows what does this team have another gear? Have they been, you know, using it all here and that's why they've been doing so well? We'll see. All right, folks.
It is time
to wrap up, I believe. Thank you all for joining. If you missed any part of the show, you can rewind back to the beginning here on YouTube, or you can find it on your favorite podcast platform 10-15 minutes or so from now. Clay, any parting words this Monday night?
Just every show, every week brings something different, whether it's a big trade or whatever. And today, I just can't believe we're talking about a game that had 17 goals. I don't care if it was 17-0 or 10-7. It's ridiculous. But I'm just happy that we're always finding stuff to talk about. The you guys in the chat have been awesome, whether you're trolling each other, making bets that you might not pay up on or whatever. We love the community. We love the excitement around this team. And let's buckle up. It's going to be a wild 2 months ending off the season for sure.
Yeah. Weirdly, like I feel weirdly positive for a team that has lost 10-7.
Ditto.
Because that's such an outrageous score that it doesn't even really count to me. Like I don't think I can process it. So it's just like, that happened. We'll move on. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed. Make sure you hit subscribe before you head out. Make sure you hit like, all that good stuff. and we will see you next Monday.